We're at the edge of something very catastrophic happening between both of our communities. And I want to try to do the best that I can with what I do to avoid that.
Hello and welcome back to the Chochmat Nashim podcast. I'm Ann Gordon here today with
Shoshana Keats-Jeskel.
And we have a special guest, Elisheva Rishon. We'd like to welcome you. And Shoshana, I'm going to turn it over to you to delve into our topic right away.
The topic today is something that I haven't actually wanted to speak about. It's something that's quite upsetting as a Jew, as a person, but I think we can avoid it. But I actually did not want to talk about this without having what I feel is a proper representation of both communities. And what I'm talking about is the upswing in anti-Semitism in America, and unfortunately what it has done, I think, in the discourse between the Black community and the Jewish community. There are Black Jews, they are not represented well enough, and Elisheva Rishon is here with us. She's a friend. We followed each other for a long time on social media, and I actually got to meet her in person last year at the Jews for Justice Conference, where we came together to talk about exactly this, how to fight anti-Semitism. So obviously Elisheva is a perfect person to speak to about this, but I think we should have some background for those who may not know what's been going on when we're talking about anti-Semitism and what's going on. So I actually happened to have been in New York when a lot of this was going down, but I can tell you that Twitter follows you everywhere. So Ye, who was the artist formerly known as Kanye West, put up a tweet that said, "I'm really sleepy now, but when I get up, I'm going to go DEFCON 3, DEFCON 4, I don't remember exactly, DEFCON something on the Jews." And that was like, what the hell just happened? He goes to sleep and the whole world goes crazy. Follow that by back and forths about what is Kanye talking about? What is the Jews? And then it's about Ye's personal pain when it comes to the Jewish people in his life. And this is where the problem is, how the Jews control the music industry. Then Kyrie, who's a basketball player, tweeted out about a video that I know Elisheva spent 2.5 hours watching last night, which we'll talk about soon, which is full of anti-Semitism. It's called From Hebrews to Negroes. And you could tell by that title that it's a little bit out of the norm. But in any case, it became a huge issue because both of these stars were asked to not only apologize and take back what they said, but they were, you know, basically canceled. And then the conversation switched from anti-Semitism to why are you canceled? How far are we going? And are we responding well to this anti-Semitism? And then I would say the latest is that David Chappelle went on Saturday Night Live, and there was about 6 or 7 minutes out of his 14-minute monologue about anti-Semitism in Hollywood and Jews and this and that. So for me, as someone who is in Israel, first of all, and second of all, not Black, but Jewish, it's been hard for me alone to watch it. And I have a lot of feelings about it, but I really, really wanted to bring on Elisheva to have a conversation more in depth and really to talk more about it in a way that would cover more ground and help us figure out where we can do better. So Elisheva, I'm throwing you this baton.
Okay, so I'll just start with a quick background on me. I'm a born and raised Orthodox Jew from Brooklyn. I'm also Black and Jewish. And I just want to say, I don't speak for all Black Jews, of course, just want to get that out of the way. I'm also an artist, a writer, a designer, a content creator, and an activist. And in my life, I've had a mixture of secular, religious, and homeschool education. So I'm very well-rounded. My parents are both licensed teachers. My home that I grew up in was Shomer Shabbat, Shomer Kashrut. Never eaten treif in my life, and I'm very proud of that. Went to shul every Shabbat, every holiday, even when I didn't want to go, you know, but it is what it is. And because I am a Black, dark-skinned woman who is simultaneously an Orthodox Jew, that means that I grew up experiencing anti-Blackness, colorism, anti-Semitism, and anti-Orthodox discrimination. I was too dark to be Jewish, too religious to be a quote-unquote cool Jew. I was accused of being someone who was acting like a white person because of the way that I dressed, talked, and my interests. And some just had issues with me because I was Black or because I was Jewish or because I was both. And because I exist in multiple boxes at once with my multifaceted identity, this topic that we are going to discuss is very painful for me. I am hurting as a Jew, as a Black person living in America. I'm tired of watching people gaslight Jews about anti-Semitism. Jews and only Jews should be able to define what is or isn't anti-Semitic. I'm tired of seeing people respond to anti-Semitism with anti-Blackness. I'm tired of people weaponizing their minority status to get away with anti-Semitism. And I'm tired of people not bothering to educate themselves properly on other communities. I am just fully exhausted mentally, emotionally, and physically at this point in time. And what disturbs me is that because of the current social political climate that keeps getting worse, both the Jewish and Black communities have a habit of overlooking the existence of Black Jewish people. We are literally the bridge between both communities, the elephant in the room, and we are also the ones that are taking the punches from both communities. And I have often found that since the Black community and the Jewish community in America don't communicate, one side believes that the other side hates it. And in reality, we are all the same people living the same life, just a different culture, different religion. And the thing about being Black and Jewish in America is that we experience racism and anti-Semitism on a whole different level because of our double fatality status. There's like a visceral reaction that we receive from multiple hate groups. We also understand the issues going on in both communities in a uniquely perceptive way. When it comes to my experience, I try to maintain walking in a world of nuance and to keep intra-communal issues within our community while simultaneously addressing inter-communal issues. I believe in creating and maintaining dialogues between our two communities, and I want to keep the door open for communication no matter how many members of society attempt to encourage us not to unite.
Elisheva, like, I know you and I've heard your story. I hurt for you. And I can't imagine having to deal with both sides of this in a very personal way. So thank you for being here and for talking about it. I know it's not easy. That's first of all. Second of all, you know, just as someone who's watching this go down and watching people react to it. Now, we all know that nuance is a very lost art, not just on Twitter, but I think also in life in general. I think people are digging in their heels. There's, you know, cancel culture here, not here. I mean, the world, there's cancel culture. And if you say something wrong, you're canceled. Sometimes when we react to something we don't like, we actually make it so much worse. How many people would have seen that stupid video that Kyrie talked about if we hadn't reacted? We, I say we, but it's kind of funny to talk about the Black community and the Jewish community, right? We talk about that a lot, and you mentioned it when you were talking, but is there a Jewish community and a Black community? Is there, you know, like this entity?
Monolith.
Isn't that part of the issue? Monolith, yeah.
Yeah, so none of us are a monolith, even though there are members of both communities that try to say that we are indeed a monolith. Our communities, the Black community and the Jewish community, we all have fringe groups within us that don't represent the majority of the community, but they exist. And what happens is that within the Black community, we have Nation of Islam, we have the Hebrew Israelites and people that belong to the Hotep culture groups that are followers and believers in Farrakhan. However, they are fringe groups. And those are the people that are into him because in the real life, normal day, like the real life type of Black American community, we're not walking around celebrating Farrakhan, calling him a king. There is no, he's not the king of the Black community, even though for some reason people seem to believe that. Like, most of us find him as a joke. We don't know anything about him at all. And the same issue we have within the Jewish community. Like, people seem to believe that all Orthodox Jews abuse their wives and don't teach people how to read English in yeshiva, you know, and, or they think, oh, most Jews are anti-Zionist Jews. And there's also a fringe group. There's fringe groups that are being mistaken to represent the entire community. And that's what's going on here.
If it's possible, like you said, Shoshana, before, I'd also like to pull back a drop and try to address the less of the fringe. I think it's probably confusing to people who are not in any one community to be able to discern who's the fringe and who's the mainstream, especially when fringe groups tend to make so much noise. But my primary interest is I want to say where the numbers are, not where the noise is. So, for example, if Dave Chappelle gets up on Saturday Night Live, millions of viewers are watching Saturday Night Live. He's a mainstream personality in that way, right? Am I wrong about this?
He's a mainstream personality that also associates with people that are involved in fringe groups. For example, when he started it off, he didn't really explain exactly how anti-Semitic this video was that Kyrie shared. the Hebrews to Negroes, that documentary, he said that some people said that there were some anti-Semitic things going on in it and some anti-Semitic tropes. And it was not some. The entire documentary is founded and grounded in anti-Semitism. From the first couple of minutes, they're trying to prove that people who call themselves Jews are not really Jews. Within the first couple of minutes of watching it, the first 20 minutes, they're saying that 6 million Jews were not killed in the Holocaust. They're calling Jews parasites. They mentioned the synagogue of Satan. The whole situation is based on anti-Semitism. So he didn't properly represent it when he spoke about it on that stage. And that's a problem for me because he played it down. And that's where Chappelle also is a bit of an issue, because he played down anti-Semitism. He made it into a joke. He made people laugh. He tried to desensitize everyone to what's been happening. And that's a problem for me. And that's a problem for everyone. And he's too smart to not know what he was doing.
Do you think he watched the video? Do you think he really knew? For me, there were different parts of the Chappelle. Like, he opened up by saying, I firmly denounce anti-Semitism in all its forms, and I stand with my Jewish friends. I actually laughed at that. And I thought it was before I knew going in that I was watching something, and I wanted to, like, is it funny? Is it not? I wanted to try and be fair. Comedians are allowed to push the boundaries, okay? And I thought that was funny, and I got it. And I was like, yeah, everybody has to say they're sorry. Okay. But then it kind of deteriorated rapidly into this, as you said, normalizing or dumbing, you know, not dumbing it down, but rather downplaying, as you said, anti-Semitism. The problem is that the layers that you spoke about, like what Ye did and what Kyrie did and what Chappelle did, are not all the same. But now what's happening is it's lumped together. Nobody is wanting to talk about how it's coming across and what the differences are. Did he watch that video? I highly, highly doubt he did. As you said, you had to pay and spend 2.5 hours watching it. And I think that's a bit of a problem, because if you don't know what you're talking about, you shouldn't be talking about it. That is concerning. At the same time, I think most people in the world haven't watched that video. You did.
Nor should they.
No, I agree. Although, you know what? Because of the response to Kyrie, many people who probably would never have seen that thing now seen that thing.
Yes. And like what you were saying, what Kyrie did, what Kanye did, and what Chappelle did were three very different things. But for me, once again, Chappelle is smart, and he could have taken that moment to use his platform to explain that Jews are heavily involved in Hollywood because of anti-Semitism, you know, that forced Jews into that industry. And then he could have come around with a joke to compare it to another ethnic group. You know, but instead he decided to reinforce the concept that Jews run Hollywood and that Jews have power. And he didn't have to go down that road. He made that decision all on his own. And just in case you weren't sure about where he was going, when he ended his set, he circled it back around to the anti-Semitic trope of Jews being all powerful. And he also painted Black Americans with a broad stroke when he said, these are the things we think about, we should think about in our head, but never say out loud. So he's telling the whole world that, oh, Black Americans think this, but we're not supposed to say it out loud. So it was always also like a racial overtone, like you can't blame Black Americans for the Holocaust. Like, I understand where he was going with that.
What was that?
I understand where he was going with that, because what has been happening, and you only know this if you're like Black or Black and Jewish, is that within the Jewish community, there has been pushback against Black people. And people were going around saying, the Blacks are out to get us, the Blacks are anti-Semitic, the Blacks are making our lives horrible. So,
and that's a Jewish reaction to Kanye.
That's a Jewish reaction to Kanye, to Kyrie, to Whoopi Goldberg. It's always the same.
Oh,
it's
right.
Always, yeah.
I forgot about Whoopi Goldberg. I didn't really forget. I just wasn't thinking about it in the context of Kanye and Kyrie. And this is a conversation that really needs to be deeper and broader and going on for much longer, obviously. I think that Whoopi's comments opened up a lot of conversations in ways that the recent events did not. The recent events seemed to have much more of a backlash fighting impact as compared to Whoopi Goldberg, where I feel like people really tried to sit down with her and talk to her and take it forward in a more... I mean, listen, the comments were made in a very different kind of way, right? And a talk show is really different from tweeting in the middle of the night, whatever.
I mean, honestly, I think because of how close it was together, you know, maybe it seems that way. But to me, as someone who is Black and Jewish, who had Black people upset with me and Jewish people upset with me, it's the exact same situation. When this happens, unfortunately, there are people that push back towards when anti-Semitism happens, they push back with anti-Blackness. And then people that are Black push back with this, like, look, here's the proof. The Jews run the world. Like when Kanye got dropped and when Kyrie got suspended, they were like, see, he wasn't appeasing the masters. So now he lost his business and this guy is suspended from playing ball. These combinations always happen whenever the situation happens. It's a very unique situation because someone white or a different ethnicity can say similar things and there won't be such a weird visceral reaction of race baiting each other.
What would you have liked to see? When this happens, what's a better reaction from everybody on both sides?
A better reaction from everyone on both sides? Okay, so I'm going to talk about an article that came out that disturbed me first before I go into that. It was written by someone who is an editor-in-chief of a Jewish media company. And in this article, he proceeded to say that according to statistics that he has, according to data that he has, that Black Americans are more likely to be believing in anti-Semitic tropes than any other ethnic or racial group in America. And he also mentioned how Farrakhan has an impact on Black Americans. And he also said that pop culture is also encouraging Black Americans to be anti-Semitic. And he also stood behind this term called Black anti-Semitism. Let me tell you why it doesn't make any sense. Is there such a thing as Asian anti-Semitism, Chinese anti-Semitism, Irish anti-Semitism?
Yeah. I mean, Irish anti-Semitism is well documented. But yeah, so we get
but nobody
we get
calls it that.
Yeah. No one, yes, he put the word Black in front of anti-Semitism, and that's been happening a lot in the past couple of years within the Jewish community, that there's this weird reaction when it comes to Black people. Now, even though, yes, there is an anti-Semitism problem in the Black community, he didn't address it according to the BHI and the Nation of Islam's influence and the Hotep culture. He made it seem like this is just the way that we are inherently.
What's the culture?
Hotep culture. Okay, Hotep culture is a highly problematic culture that breeds and creates the BHI as a Nation of Islam. It's a culture that, for me, because I'm a Black woman, a lot of us Black women have an issue with because it contains a lot of misogyny. Basically, it's like telling women what to do, where to go, how to dress, how to eat. It's just weird energy, and we don't like it. We don't like their culture. We don't like their groups. We don't like anything that's affiliated with them, we being a majority of Black Americans, especially Black women. But the person who wrote this article left all that out and just made it seem like Black Americans are inherently, by default, anti-Semitic. And that is a very scary article that he wrote. It's a very damaging article that he wrote. And because he's an editor-in-chief of a Jewish media company, he knows better. He knows the power of language and he knows the power of words. And he chose to omit important facts and important details from that article. And it's been making the rounds on social media and Jewish spaces. And the reaction is very scary for us and Black Jewish people. A lot of them have been reaching out to me. We are very worried about how this is going to go down. And this is not how you should respond to anti-Semitism.
Okay, so first we know what not to do.
Yeah.
But this particular fringe approach has some prominent followers in ways that are damaging and dangerous because people don't realize, again, how fringe that can be.
Yes. Instead of us turning on each other and believing that our neighbor and another community hates us, which is what is just commonly being thought right now, we should be working on creating and maintaining dialogues between both the Black and the Jewish communities in America. We should be creating coalitions. We need to focus on communicating with each other, even though society is trying to encourage us not to unite and not to work together. And that's what I want to hear. When someone says something that is ignorant and it's founded in ignorance, we try to educate them. We try to reach out to them and we try to find the source of the miseducation and where it's coming from. We can't say all Jews are racist, all Blacks are anti-Semitic. That's not helping anything, and it's not even accurate. And I just want us to actually focus on the issue and to fix it.
I'm also asking this of myself as I ask it of the two of you. Do you think that the way we respond to these things can sometimes or has made it worse? When I say we, I'm talking about the institutional Jewish organization, like the ADL, which obviously Anti-Defamation League was created to fight anti-Semitism. Does our response maybe need to be looked at? Do we need to think about how we're responding to these things, these tweets? I know the jokes have been made. Modi is a Jewish comedian. He's like, why would you take an anti-Semite to a Holocaust museum? That's like Disneyland for him. And he's joking and he's being funny. But the truth is, I wonder if we as a, you know, that weird word, because I certainly didn't respond to any of these people, but the Jewish institutions need to rethink perhaps, how are we responding? And is that response making people who are already on the defense simply digging in their heels and backing into their corners? Which, you know, as someone who's done activism for 10 years at least, I know that you cannot approach things always the way you want to, with guns blazing and, you know, asking for the maximum punishment or forcing someone to say they're sorry in this exact way, the way I'm telling you to do it. Even if they're sorry, someone who's defensive and someone who's like, wait a minute, isn't going to do it that way. And I just wonder if one of the things we should be thinking of is our response to these things.
I agree. I feel that sometimes our response to these situations makes it become a bigger issue. And hopefully we will already be working on opening up dialogues between our communities so that we don't have to jump straight to an extreme measure, because the way that we react is also gonna, you know, every action has a reaction. And even though we are 100% justified to be horrified by what's happening, the spike in anti-Semitism in America is very scary. It's very dangerous. We're getting attacked on the streets. Like, it's not even a joke. It's not funny. I don't care what they're saying. You know, they say a joke is a joke, but a joke is only a joke when it's a certain time period. And we're right in a, we're now where we are, we're at the edge of something very catastrophic happening between both of our communities. And I want to try to do the best that I can with what I do to avoid that. So our actions matter, because, for example, when I talk about anti-Blackness, I don't use certain terminology that I know will trigger people, because I know that if I say these words, they will no longer listen to anything I say after it. And it's mm-hmm. more important for us to have communication than for me to use a term that will anger people. And also, I'm not a fan of cancel culture. I don't think it's really doing its job.
I agree.
And it's also a catch-22, because if you get canceled because of anti-Semitism after saying that the Jews run everything, then people are like, see, here's the proof. The Jews run everything. So it's like this awful situation. Right. You're not helping anything with canceling people. You need to talk to them. You need to educate them. So I think that our first reaction should not be to dogpile on people, but to first reach out with education. And no, not a Holocaust museum. Never been a fan of that. You know, that worked with Nick Cannon. I think it did the job, you know, but not everybody's like that guy. You know, like, some people really need to be in the community. They need to meet Jews from different ethnic origins, from different countries. They need to sit in a Jewish center. They need to meet us. They need to see us. We need to show them.
Not the dead Jews. Let's talk about the live Jews. Exactly. Let's actually interact now. Because even if someone feels for you, for your suffering, and as most human beings will, that doesn't change today. Like, I was actually sitting in a Jewish space 2 weeks ago in New York, a Jewish Women's Foundation, and my table was, I didn't know most of the people at my table, but it was majority Black people, which was actually really happy. Like, I was glad about that, because I felt like I don't usually get to do that. And we're having wonderful conversations about a million and a half things. And at the end of the conference, the man, he's like one of three guys in this entire Jewish Women's Foundation audience, which already made me feel like he's an ally. Like, amazing, he's here. And he says to me, you know, I don't like this anti-Semitism accusation. And I was like, wait, what? And he started talking to me about Ye and Kyrie. And I said to him, can you just explain what you mean? And he said, well, the Jews he didn't say run Hollywood. He said are overrepresented in, you know, there's lists of Jews, which is always a terrifying thing to hear, lists of Jews who are executives in the music industry. You know, they choose what musicians are signed and what music is promoted, and they promote drug culture in Black communities. We spoke for a while. Two things stuck out to me. One was he really felt that the Jews were choosing to have drug promoting music, gang promoting music for the Black community, and that he was glad to be in the space that we were in, because he spent, you know, the past 6 hours listening to progressive Jews and Jews who are fighting gun violence and Jews who are doing all those things that he is in favor of. So on the one hand, just being there, I think, opened his mind. On the other, he truly, truly, truly feels that the Jews, and I think that Chappelle is right in this, you can't say the Jews. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's a problem. Jews control the music and do it on purpose to harm the Black community. And that is something, I don't know how, Alishev, I believe you that it's fringe. But if it's fringe, I do still think we need to address that fringe, because there are good people who seem to be taken in by that.
Yes, exactly. Fringe groups, because first we have to actually address the fact that they exist, instead of just saying that it's the Black community. We should address these groups that are in there. And that guy that you were talking about, like, I have a problem with him because what he said to you was incorrect, because this is what we call an intra-communal issue. Rap is an art form. People rap about what they know. They rap about their life and their experiences. Jewish people are not the ones telling Black people what to rap about. That is something that is happening on our end. And if he doesn't want to hear violence and drugs and rap music, that is something that the Black American community has to make the decision to make. It has nothing to do with Jews, because we're not all powerful. We are a resource. We provide resources to the next person who's going to become the next big thing. And that was misplaced. And also, that was internalized anti-Blackness, I believe, also within himself, which is a whole nother issue that I can't even discuss. You know, that was highly problematic of him. And it's our problem, not the Jewish community's problem.
I want to just make note of, as I often do, a blog post on the Times of Israel from yesterday, where the title here is, Chappelle is right. There are a lot of Jews in Hollywood. And the post is by Pini Arnon. And it goes on to speak about there are also a lot of Jews in Wall Street and in real estate and in medicine and in academia. And on the one hand, he's being flippant. And on the other hand, meaning glib, I guess, is better than flippant. And on the other hand, he then goes on to talk about what does it mean when we talk about people in power, and how do we respond to this question? The question of lists, I agree with you, Shoshana, it kind of gives me the chills, the idea that anybody's making a list of who's any demographic anywhere, right? I think that we do well when we don't have ethnic groupings in that kind of way. I think we all have enough history behind us to be edgy about this. But I think Rashi teaches us how to lie. You tell a little bit of the truth and then you put it in a different context and now it's no longer true, or it's no longer smacks of the same issue. So you want to address the fact that there are plenty of Jewish names at the end of any Hollywood movie. You have to explain it in a different way than just saying, oh, the Jews are powerful. How is it that the Jews came to this industry? How is it that the Jews are in any number of industries when they're more prominent or less prominent or whatever? I raise it in this way because I think that a lot of people find themselves nodding their heads, Blacks, whites, Jews, Asians, anybody, to hear somebody say, and there's a lot of Jews in Hollywood. Jews are running the show. Jews are running the music industry. It's much more complicated than that. But on the face of it, that one line, I feel like people are nodding their heads. And that makes me tense. I would like to be able to answer that, as this blog post does, meaning he writes a sophisticated piece. But I'm saying that, you know, as we have these off-the-cuff conversations, I would like a tool chest to be able to respond to people well. I mean, nobody's coming to me, as Caucasian as I am, whatever. Nobody's coming to me to say, this is a problem in the Black community, but I'd like to be able to answer them up anyway, right? Shoshana, you can have a conversation that way when you have the opportunity. These opportunities do arise, and I feel a little bit at sea with not having ready responses. Anti-Semitism I could talk about, but the Black world, I really can't.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You're not supposed to. We're not supposed to be. The problem with these two communities is that they oftentimes mix intra-communal issues with inter-communal issues. They're not involved with each other. Our issues are our issues, and Jewish issues are Jewish issues, and they should remain separate. We should not be blaming one community for another community's problems. That's an issue that we have within both communities that I've noticed come up a lot. And you don't even need that fancy, you know, sophisticated article when it comes to talking about why Jews are in the industry that they are. We're in every industry that we're in for a certain reason. Like, why do we have the trope of being bankers? Because the Christians back then in the Middle Ages didn't want to get into banking. They felt it was dirty. So they said, okay, the Jews are going to do it. Why were Jews in Hollywood? Because no one wanted to touch Hollywood. They saw it as dirty. They didn't like it. And they said, okay, you Jews, go do Hollywood. Like, anything that we are involved in and we're predominantly or overrepresented in, it's because of anti-Semitism. So it's like an ongoing circle. There's an anti-Semitic trope about us because we're working in an industry that we were forced into because of anti-Semitism. It's just been going on and on and on. You don't need a whole article. That's your answer for everything. Because it's literally true, okay?
Elisheva, I'm listening to you speak, and you're using we both for the Black community and for the Jewish community. And it's just hitting home for me how, like, on top of everything that we've already said, how difficult this is for you to talk about because you are literally in the middle of this. And I thank you for coming on. And I know that a lot of Black Jews are exhausted from having to have these conversations. And I understand Anne also being like, I need help having this conversation. So I don't know. I'm gonna have to think about this, how I can, maybe I can try to put something together at the same time without making it so difficult for the same people to have to say it over and over and over again.
Nobody I know wants to be stepping on anybody else's toes. Meaning people are stepping on each other's toes, but the people I know, my actual cohort, nobody wants to be stepping on each other's toes. But I feel like it's hard to make you and people who happen to have a dual identity be the only people to be able to speak out on this.
Yeah, that's the thing, but they're not even letting us speak out on this because most of the time people ignore our voices. Like, literally. What I suggest is that moving forward, whenever the situation occurs, like, there should be people that are actually brought in to speak on these things, to speak on these matters. If there's a panel, there should always be a Black Jewish person there, especially when it comes to these type of subjects. And we are rarely ever seen there. And I don't get it. I don't get why we're always the elephant in the room. Our voices are important in America as Black Jewish Americans. And there's always people that are ready to get, you can book them, send them out, have them do an event.
Right. I was just going to say that. I think there are a lot of people who are like, but I don't know any Black Jews. And I'll say to you, go on Instagram, Google. They're out there. They're talking. They're brave and very, very, very interesting. Get to know the Jews of color. Get to know those Jews that don't exactly look like you or have your experiences, because we do have to work together against anti-Semitism and against anti-Blackness. Elisheva, is there anything before we close that you would like to say that you didn't get to say, that you thought of after the interview?
I just want to say that I stress that it is very important for Jewish people and Black people to talk to each other and to learn about each other's experiences in America, because our experiences are tied to each other, especially because of white supremacy. We need to listen to each other, and we need to also eliminate the factor of indifferent people. Because most people in both communities are good people, but they're indifferent. They don't want to get involved, or they don't know how to get involved. But the problem is that when people don't get involved, bad things happen. And I need people to actually get involved that are currently indifferent. And I know that we can do this. We've done it before. They don't want us to do it again, because the last time that we did it, we literally changed this country. So we need to talk, and we need to listen to each other. We need to believe. When Black people are talking about anti-Blackness, believe us. When Jewish people are talking about anti-Semitism, believe us. Like, let's just get this started, because we are right now on the edge of something very horrific. And I don't want to see us go over the edge, because it's just very scary right now to be Jewish in America. And there's also a rising anti-Blackness in America. And I don't want us to be on the opposite end of this. We need to work together.
Thank you, Elisheva.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us. Our listeners, you can find Elisheva Rishon on social media. You can go follow her. You'll hear more and read more wisdom from her there. Shoshana?
The only thing I want to say is try not to get so entrenched in your defenses that you can't hear the conversation, because I think that is a grenade in the conversation. And sometimes we just have to be like, not you, Anne.
No, our listeners. People in general. Because people need to come to this conversation with open ears instead of the biases that we already have.
Right. Thank you again, Elisheva, for being with us. You can find us on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, and on TikTok. Chochmat Nashim, C-H-O-C-H-M-A-T-N-A-S-H-I-M.
Can you hear us now?